Am I on, Dustin? I got the thumbs up. All right. Psalm 81. Well, let me just say, first of all, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and to enjoy some good fellowship. I've enjoyed it. It just seems to fly by so quick. I mean, I just got here Friday afternoon and we're already done. It goes by so quick. But I've enjoyed the fellowship, I've enjoyed the conversations, the good services, and I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be here, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of this missions conference. We've got to hear from Brother Larry, and got to hear from the Gunthers to New Zealand, and Brother Merle, and I got to preach, and I just thank you that I'm able to be a part of it, just a little bit a part of it, and I hope that the little part that I've had has been an encouragement to you, a blessing, because you folks have been a blessing to me. I always enjoy coming back to Bible Baptist because I'm coming back to my roots, all right? I'm coming back to my roots. And Dad was mentioning this morning just some of the time that I spent overseas, and I was talking to Brother Jeff and realized I've spent half my life overseas. I'm now, I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm now 40 years old. The big 4-0, it's just downhill from here, I know. But 20 of those years have been spent overseas. If I add up the time in Micronesia, the time in Congo, Central Africa, and the time in South Africa, yeah, that's half my life. And so, and someone asked me, would you want to go back? Man, if I could go tomorrow, I'd go back. I would love to do it. I love missions. I love traveling. I love seeing the world. And it's just such, I said this on Friday, there's such a big world out there. And it seems like we do so little, and there's so much more that we can do. But it is exciting to know that God has set up a program to where you can stay right here in Baysville and Cambridge and the surrounding areas and minister in this area and at the same time be reaching all the way around the world. Isn't God good, the way He sets that up, that you can stay right here and yet still have a part in reaching the entire world? That's God. God did that. And so by giving and praying and supporting missions, you're having a part around the world. And so, and praise the Lord, by the way, for these commitments. Thank God for that. That's exciting. Man, that's what, $45,000, $46,000 that's already been committed. Folks, I'm telling you, I know what we do in our church. I've seen other churches, what they do. I don't know if you realize this. This is a big deal. For a church this size to give $46,000 and $60,000 and above, because that's where as far as I understand, still shooting for 60,000 and above. So we need some more of those cards to come in. I know some more are coming in tonight, and hopefully we'll see more come in Wednesday and the next week. Let's just pray. Maybe some of you will get right and change that amount. All right, who knows? I'm just teasing. Whatever God directs you to give, you ought to give. But I'll tell you what, we can do so much more. But this is exciting. I'm glad your pastor and Brother Lewis put this together. Because this helps give a visual of the work that's being done, and it helps your pastor to have an idea of what's coming in the year ahead. So make sure you get those cards filled out, and let's raise that thermometer a little more tonight and in the days ahead. All right, Psalm 81, title of my message tonight, going a little different direction. Friday night, Saturday night, this morning, we were in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 the whole time. Now we're in Psalm. Here's the title of my message, Shoulda, Coulda, Woulda. That's the title of my message tonight. Should have, could have, would have, depending on what part of the country you're from. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Or missing the opportunities. Missing the opportunities. Psalm 81, let's begin in verse 13. Psalm 81, verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. Did you see the first word there? You know who's speaking, don't you? That's God. Sometimes we think God is kind of this emotionless, stoic being that's sitting in the heavens and nothing affects Him. But that's God that spoke those words. He said, oh, 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 I wish my people had listened. He's expressing emotion. That's our God. He said, oh, that my people, and there's several places, and that's not what I'm preaching on tonight, but it's worth noting, there are several places in the Bible where God expresses. And He says, oh, and He says something. So it's important to listen up when He expresses something. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And so tonight I want to preach to you this: should have, could have, would have, shoulda, coulda, woulda. There's some things God wants to do and intends to do and really desires to do. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be saved, and it is so good to be a part of this missions conference. It's exciting to know that we are doing something. We're involved in something that is bigger than ourselves. And we're so small. Yeah, God, we just sang it a moment ago. Yet You love me, even as small as I am. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, and Your goodness, and Your grace. Lord, we feel so small and so insignificant, yet You love us. And You give us significance, Father, and You give us purpose. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I pray, Father, one more time in this missions conference, would You please just let Your Spirit have full reign and liberty tonight to move and work amongst us. Would You honor Your Word as we lift it up and proclaim it tonight, that it have an effect in our lives and our hearts. And I ask, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Thy sight. For I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin tonight by asking a few questions, all right? I know it's hard sometimes to think without a phone in our hands, but I'm going to challenge you tonight, all right? I'm going to challenge you. Here's some questions. Let me ask you, does God want everyone to be saved? Yes, He does. Is God able to save every person? Absolutely. Is His intent to save every person? Well, I'm just telling you, here's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2, we're told, who will have all men, in other words, all mankind, His will, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can I tell you, God wants every person to be saved. God is able to save every person. It is His intent, it is His will to save every person. We're told in Peter, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, we're even told in Ezekiel that it doesn't please Him to see the wicked die. It's His will, it's His desire, it's His plan, and He's able to save every person. So why doesn't He? Why doesn't He? If He's able, and if He wants to, and it's His intent, it's His desire, it's His will to save, why doesn't He? Think about this. Let me ask you this. Does God want the gospel to be spread throughout the whole world? Yeah, He does. He wants it to spread throughout the whole world. Is He able? Does God have the capability, the power, the ability to take the message of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that salvation, and send it throughout, I mean, all what, 256 countries, all the languages of the world and the nations? Is God able? Does He want to? Is His intent? His plan? Boy, we know it is, right? I mean, look at all the verses in the Gospels and in Acts that God says, man, take it to the uttermost parts of the world. Take it out there. It's definitely His plan. So why isn't it happening? Does God want to call missionaries? I mean, even in 2022, does God want to call and send missionaries? I believe God wants to call missionaries right out of Bible Baptist Church. I believe, and I don't know, because I can't declare the will of God for you. That's up for you to decide. But I would dare say that there's probably, in a church this size, there's probably somebody, young or old, wherever you are in life, there's probably somebody that God would reach down, touch your heart, and say, I'm calling you. Who will go? I'd like to send you. Are you willing to go? I believe God's still calling. I believe He wants to. I believe He's able to. I believe it's His intent. It's His plan. So why aren't we seeing more missionaries going out? You see where I'm going? All these things that I just mentioned, saving souls, starting churches, sending missionaries, spreading the gospel, why doesn't it happen the way God intends, the way God wants, the way God plans? If He's able and He wants to do it, What is it that limits it? What is it that limits God? Folks, tonight I'm challenging you. There's so many things that God wants to do. He's able to do. He plans to do. He has every intention. But you know how it works. He does it through us. And the moment He decides to do things through us, that's where the limitation comes, right? That's where it starts to slow down. That's where it gets prevented. That's where it gets hindered. And if we're not careful, we're going to get to the end of this thing and we're going to hear God say, I should have. I could have. And I would have, but. And that's what I want to look at here tonight. You notice here in this passage that we just read, there's five times where God says that He should have done some certain things. These were all things that God had every intention of doing. Now, what's He talking about? He's talking about bringing the children of Israel, if you read this psalm, He's bringing the children of Israel out of the nation of Egypt. He's bringing them through the wilderness, and His intention, His plan, is to get them across the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan. And what does He say? He says, I should have subdued their enemies. So God had every intention for them to prevail over every single enemy. I mean, His intention, His plan. You read Deuteronomy, you read Numbers, you read the instruction God gave. His plan was to subdue every country, every town, every person in there. That was God's plan for them to prevail over their enemies. We see that in verse 15. But even in verse 15, His plan was to prosper His people. In verse 15, He says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time, His people's time, should have endured forever. You know what you read through the book of Judges? Them being carried off into different nations and other nations coming, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and the Philistines. And that wasn't God's plan. You understand that? We know the history and we've read those stories. But can I tell you, if Israel would have, they should have stayed right where they were from the moment they crossed over Jordan. Because God's original intent and plan was for their time should have endured. They should have stayed right there in the nation of Israel. Verse 16, God's intention was to provide for His people. Look at verse 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied? See, God's intention, God's plan. And all five of those times where He says, should have. God is showing that He had every intention and plan of doing these things. So why didn't He? Why didn't He? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Well, go back to verse 8. We didn't read it, but go back to verse 8. What's the first word of verse 8? Here. Here's where the problem lies. He said, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken. What's the first four letters of the word hearken? Hear. He says, hear, and if you'll hear. Hearken means to hear. It means to listen. It means to give attention to. It means give attention to what is spoken. He said, if you'll hearken, I'm trying to tell you something. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Notice, and Israel, this is amazing, would none of me. Did you see that? End of verse 11. He said, they would not hearken. In fact, He said, they didn't want anything to do with me. Israel would none of me. He said, when I spoke, they only didn't want to listen. They had no time for me. They had no interest in what I was trying to say. Verse 13, we read it. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. You see, I want you to follow here. God was speaking to His people. He was speaking to them what He wanted to do, what He purposed to do, what He intended to do. What was the problem? They simply didn't listen. They didn't hearken, right? Isn't that what the verses say? They just didn't listen. You say, why weren't they listening? They were just disinterested. I mean, in this passage, I don't think it's an outright rebellion. I think it's just disinterest that God's speaking, but they're not listening. And so He's constantly saying, hear, listen, hearken. But they're just not interested in, because you know what? Once they got into that land, things were good. Oh man, no more Egyptians. No more bondage and servitude. Now we're in the land. We've got to where we wanted to get. We're done. Man, they kicked back. They sat under their fig tree. They rejoiced in the vineyards and the spoils and all that God had blessed them with. And they grew fat on the blessings of God. And God says, wait, 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 I'm not done. There's more to do. And He said, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I should have. Why? Because God had more to do that He intended on doing and that He planned on doing. But they got to a point where they weren't interested. Why were they disinterested? Because their interests were pulled aside towards other things. Now, I think the application is pretty simple. We're in the middle of mission. Well, at the end of missions conference here. And there's certain things that God intends for this church to do. You know what God intends for this church to do? He's intending for the people of Bible Baptist Church to be giving out the gospel on a regular basis. And folks, let's just be honest. Come on, can we just be honest? We're not giving out the gospel like we should. We're not. We don't witness like we should. We miss so many opportunities. The little stuff, like giving a tract at the gas station, leaving a tract with a tip at the restaurant, those little, it doesn't take much. But we miss those opportunities a lot, don't we? Our neighbors right next door, right across the street, should have, we should be, and we're missing those opportunities. And there are so many times where Bible Baptist Church, your pastor says, we have planned specific times where we're going to stand on the side of the road and hold those gospel signs. We're going to give out tracts. We're going to do door hangers. We're going to knock on doors. Whatever it is. And you should have been there. And you should be getting involved. And God says, there's certain things that I'm planning on doing and intending on doing, but we're missing those opportunities. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. God says you should have. But you're missing those opportunities. And you don't want to let these opportunities pass. And here you're starting a new year as far as missions goes. This is the missions conference where we're looking back at what we did last year. Now we're looking forward to the year ahead. And God says there's some things I still want to do. He says there are things I intend to do. What does it hinge on? It hinges on our interest. Are you listening? When your pastor gets up and says, hey, here's what we need to do. Here's what God wants us and is leading us to do. And we should be doing. Bible Baptist Church should be giving out the gospel on a regular basis. Bible Baptist Church should, do something. Run a bus, run a van, knock on doors, door. I don't care what you do. Find out what works in Bicesville and Cambridge and get out there and preach the gospel. Let's stop squabbling over how to do it. Let's just figure out what works in this area and do it. Man, I've spent too much time in the ministry of people debating over what's better than the other. Street preaching, door knocking, buses. Whatever works in your area, figure it out, do it. And if you got to do 5 or 6 different things at a time, get out there and do it. Man, quit arguing. You want to theorize in a room. Just get outside the church and find something that works and do it. God says, I should have. I should have. But He couldn't do it. Why? Because they just weren't interested. They just weren't interested. Say, why weren't they interested? I don't know. You ever busy watching sports? They were caught up in Hollywood. They were caught up in what's going on in D.C. and politics. They were caught up in you fill in the blank. They were caught up in personal comforts, really, when you look at Israel. They just got comfortable. And when they got comfortable, they just got disinterested in the things of God. Folks, don't let our lack of interest limit God's plans, God's purposes, God's intentions of what He wants to do at Bible Baptist Church and through Bible Baptist Church. Shoulda. Shoulda. Now let's move on to coulda. Go to Mark chapter 6. I know this is grammatically correct, right? Shoulda, let's move on to coulda, and then we'll move on to woulda last. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. So what stopped God from what He should have done? Well, it was disinterest. It was just disinterest. Now we see what God could have done. Mark chapter, I'm in 7, let's see here, 6, there we go. Mark chapter 6, hopefully you're there, verse 1. Mark 6, verse 1. And he, that's talking about Jesus, he went out from thence, came into his own country, that's Nazareth, and his disciples follow him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. See, he's returned back to his hometown where he grew up. And he's doing these mighty works. And he begins. He had just started. He just came back. And he's just there for a couple days in Nazareth. And he starts to do these mighty works. And they say, wait. Isn't this Jesus? They knew him. See, when he went to Capernaum and Bethsaida and Jerusalem, he was coming there for the first time. People didn't really know him, but in Nazareth they knew him. And they said, we know his brothers, we know his sisters, we know Mary, we know Joseph. What's this mighty works he's doing? Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, verse 4, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Notice, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages he left. He said he went round about. He left Nazareth and he went to other villages teaching. Now watch what happens here. In verse 2, he shows up and he starts doing what? Mighty works. And they start seeing him do these mighty works. And it even says in verse 5 that he could not do mighty works there. Now, let me ask you, we're talking about God here, right? This is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. There's no limit to what he could do. Am I right? There's no blind man that he could not give sight to. There's no lame man that he could not raise up. There's no dead man that he could not raise from the dead. There's nothing he could. There's no devil-possessed person that he could not cast out those devils. There's no storm that he could not calm. And yet he comes to Nazareth and it says he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So what, Jesus couldn't do something? Does he not have all power? We're talking about Jesus here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's got power over devils, he's got power over nature, he's got power over sickness, he's got power over death, he's got power over leprosy, he's got power over blindness. He's doing things that no one in history has ever done before and no one in history has ever seen. There's nothing he could not do. And you just read it. He couldn't do it. He comes to Nazareth and he can't. There's something he can't do. He can't do mighty works. He had done those mighty works in other towns, but he comes to Nazareth and he can't do it. Why not? Why is it he could not do in Nazareth what he could do in other towns? The answer is in verse 6. And he marveled because of their, what? Unbelief. You see, their disbelief in Jesus, that here comes Jesus. They say, wait, we know this guy. And just this attitude of disbelief. Well, who is this guy think he is? We know who he is. We know his parents. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. He grew up in this town. And that disbelief, that attitude of disbelief limited God's ability. Now, that blows my mind. That blows my mind that you and I could actually limit the power of God. It's not the only time that it happens. Go over to Mark chapter 9. Go a couple of pages over to Mark chapter 9. Notice Mark chapter 9 down in verse 21. Mark 9 verse 21. Here we have a devil-possessed boy and the father's beseeching Jesus to heal him. Mark 9 verse 21. Jesus, it says, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Do you notice what Jesus did right there? The Father gave Jesus a condition, and Jesus turned that around and said, no, you got the wrong condition. Here's the right condition. The Father looked at Jesus. He said, here's the problem with my son. He's possessed with this devil, and here's what it's doing to him. But if you can, and Jesus said, no, it's not about if I can. It's about if you can believe. Isn't that what we just read? The man says, if thou can do anything, and Jesus says, no, if you can believe. It's not about my ability. He says, it's about your faith. It's not whether or not I'm capable. It's whether or not you will trust me and believe me. And you know what limits a lot of people from giving to missions? Listen to me. You know what stops people from giving to missions a lot of times? Is they just don't believe God will do what He promised. There's this hesitation where they start looking at the numbers and they're like, here's the bills I have to pay and here's what I'm living off of, but God's telling me to give above my tithe. I already give my tithe, but God's telling me to give above my tithe. Now the pastor's saying we want to do more for God, and so I got to increase that giving, and it comes down to this. I just don't think God will take care of me if I do it. Right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. That's the real question we have to ask ourselves when we commit to giving and really commit to anything in the Christian life. When we make a decision, we've got to ask ourselves, am I going to be able to trust God? Boy, I tell you what, the Christian life is all about trusting. It really is. I'm telling you, when I've been in some of the deepest, darkest, lowest points of my life, you know what picked me up and kept going? Was God through His Word just saying, Matt, trust me. Matt, trust me. I'm telling you, and it's sitting in my prayer closet, weeping over life situations, begging God to change things. And guess what? God doesn't always change circumstances. But here's what He does. He says, just trust me. And that's every area of the Christian life. And so when we get to this area of getting involved in missions, guess what God says again? Just trust me. And we cringe and we don't want to commit and we don't want to give and we don't want to get involved because we simply disbelieve. God says, I could. He says, I could. Listen to me, Bible Baptist Church, there's so many things that God could do in this church. There's so many things that God could do through this church. There's so much more in missions that God could do. God has the ability to do. God has the power to do. God has the capability to do. But it's not going to happen. You know why? Disbelief. Because people in Bible Baptist Church are just, they just don't. We trust God to a point, right? Isn't that what the Father says here? He says, Lord, I believe, but now I'm facing something where I don't believe. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you know, that's a good prayer to pray. When you get to a point where, Lord, I've trusted You for all these other things, and You've always provided, You've always been faithful, and You've always proven Your faithfulness and Your goodness, but Father, I've now got to a point where I'm not sure if I can trust You. Lord, help mine unbelief. Be honest with God. He knows you're weak. You're not telling Him anything. This is not some revelation that you're showing God. God, I'm weak. He says, I know. But just trust me. Just trust me. God's able. God's able. But I'm telling you, folks, what limits our giving, what limits our outreach, what limits our work for the Lord, what limits the fruit we see is that we fail to believe what God has promised. And so many failures in the Christian life are faith failures. We just don't trust God. Don't let our lack of faith limit God's ability. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Go to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. Now you all know, or you should know, what happens in 2 Samuel 11. It's when the great servant of the Lord, David, falls deeply into sin. You know the story, adultery. leaving his place where he should have been, doing what God could have been doing through him. And he commits adultery, tries to cover it through murder. He's away from the Lord. His life's a mess. But the prophet Nathan, in God's mercy and grace, isn't it amazing? God didn't just kill him. Should have. God could have. But he didn't kill him. I mean, David did the two great sins, adultery and murder. There's no offering for those. He should have killed David. I mean, for both of those. You commit adultery, you know what the punishment is? Death. You commit murder, you know what the punishment is? Murder. David should have died in 2 Samuel 12. But God in His mercy sends a preacher to confront him about his sin. Boy, I tell you what, could we be honest, if we look back at our own lives, there's times the Lord should not have let us live through certain things. We've just really messed up sometimes. But God's merciful. He was merciful to David. Notice 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And notice, and if that had been too little, I would, moreover, have given unto thee such and such things." Boy, I tell you what, God had done so much for David up to this point. You notice the three things that God said? He said, I anointed thee. He said, I delivered thee. And He said, I gave thee. He does a little quick synopsis of David's life. He looks back real quick and he says, David, look what I've done for you up to this point. I anointed you and I delivered you and I gave you. But now David's reached a point where he's living in disobedience away from the Lord. And God had to put David in a certain place and confront him over his sin. But here's the thing. If 2 Samuel 11 would never have happened, you know what God would have done? He would have continued to enrich and bless and prosper and expand and just do great things. Isn't that what He said? David, I anointed you and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul and I gave you all these things and I would have done so much more. He says, I would have done such and such things. You say, what were those such and such things? No idea. We'll never know. Because God looked at where David was in his sin and in his disobedience and his backsliding. He said, David, you've hit a point now where those things I would have done are not going to happen now. Well, isn't that a scary thought? Isn't that a scary thought? There's a lot of Christians that have lived for the Lord, been doing really good, but on fire for God, but they get to a point where whatever it is takes them away from the Lord and out of church and they backslide. And God says, boy, I would have. Oh, I would have. You know what would have indicates? Desire. That God wanted to. God's saying to David, I wanted to do such and such things. I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I had plans to do this, and here was my desire, here was my heart for you, David. But he couldn't do it. Why? Disobedience. Disobedience. It's not complicated. Disobedience. His disobedience prevented God's desire. And folks, we've been saying it all through the conference, God has blessed Bible Baptist Church. I mean, you start looking back, just like Nathan does with David and looks back for just a moment. You look back for just a moment, think about all the souls that have been saved at Bible Baptist Church through the ministries here. Think about the men that have been called into the ministry, trained for the ministry. Think of all the missionaries that have been supported by this work. And folks, God's not done. God's not done by any means with Bible Baptist Church. And what He wants to do in this church and through this church. God wants to. You hear me? God wants to. But what does it hinge on? Obedience. Wouldn't it be a shame to get to heaven and God review your life and your service in this church and hear Him say, oh, I wanted to do something. I wanted to do so much more. And I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. But you just wouldn't obey. Don't let our lack of obedience, our disobedience, limit God's desire. Let's stand as we close this evening.